Welcome to the masterclass. In this lesson, we're building one of those classic Moody DNB tools that can carry the whole track, a dark 90s inspired re-space, then resampling it into gritty audio you can chop, rearrange, and use like a real instrument inside Ableton Live 12. The big idea here is simple, but powerful. We're not just designing a synth patch and leaving it there. We're going to perform the sound, print it to audio, catch the messy little accidents, then turn those accidents into musical material. That's a very jungle, very old school way of thinking. A lot of the magic in this style happens after the synth stage, not before it. So first, set yourself up at a DNB-friendly tempo, somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM. Keep the session clean and organized. Make one MIDI track for the re-synth, one audio track set to resampling, one track for chopped resample edits, and a break track for your drums. If you want delays or reverbs, keep them on return tracks so the session stays tidy. Rename things clearly so you're not hunting for tracks later. Something like re-synth, re-resamp, bass chops, and breaks keeps the workflow super focused. Before you even start sound design, pay attention to headroom. This style gets loud and dense fast once the breaks and bass come together, so don't run the master into the red while you're building. You want enough space to print the bass without everything getting crushed. If the monitoring is messy, you can use a EQ8 on the master just to keep an eye on the low end, but don't start overcorrecting. We're making music here, not repairing a broken mix. Now load Waveeatable on the MIDI track and start with a waveform that has plenty of harmonics, like a saw-style source or something with a rich spectral shape. The goal is that wide, unstable mid-range that feels alive. Use two oscillators if possible. Let oscillator 1 be your main saw-style bass, and bring in oscillator 2 as a slightly detuned partner. Keep the detune modest. You want that nervous tension, not a giant super saw pop sound. A little bit goes a long way in dark DNB. As sub oscillator as well, but keep it restrained for now. We're going to treat the sub like a separate responsibility later. Right now, the reese should live in the low mids and upper bass, where the character and movement happen. That separation is important. Think in layers of responsibility. One layer for movement, one layer for weight. Set up the filter with a low pass starting point, and don't make it too bright yet. A cutoff somewhere in the low hundreds is a good place to begin. Keep resonance controlled. The sound should feel like it's sitting in fog, not screaming at you. Then add a slow LFO to modulate either the filter cutoff or the Waveeatable position. Keep the movement subtle and gradual at first. If the sound feels slightly unstable, that's good. In this style, instability is part of the emotion. If you want more edge, add a bit of drive inside Waveeatable, then place a saturator after it. A few dB of drive is usually enough to make the bass feel more urgent without turning it into fuzz soup. If the patch needs a harder edge, use soft clip. That gives you attitude while still keeping the peaks under control. At this point, don't write a full bassline yet. Write a short phrase. Two bars is perfect. You want a small musical idea that leaves room for the drums and gives you something worth resampling. Keep it simple and focused. A couple of low hits, one answer phrase, maybe a short overlap here and there. This is jungle and old school DNB, so repetitive and hypnotic can be stronger than flashy. A root note, an octave jump, and a little syncopation can hit harder than a busy melody. Try to make the MIDI phrase feel like a conversation with the break. Let one hit land, then leave space. Let the next phrase answer the snare or the ghost notes. If the timing feels slightly human, that can be a plus. A bass note that lands a touch late against a tight snare can create tension and urgency. Just don't make the groove fall apart. Now the fun part, perform the synth so it does something worth capturing. Automate the filter cutoff over the phrase. Let it sweep from murky to open, then back into darkness. Move the resonance carefully if you want those nasal, haunted moments. Waveeatable position can also shift the tone in a really useful way. Even small changes in drive can make the bass feel like it's breathing or snarling. If you want extra movement, bring an auto filter after Waveeatable and use it to exaggerate the sweep. A bandpass move can sound especially eerie and underground, like the sound is emerging out of fog. If you want a heavier push, add drum bus after the saturation. Don't overdo the boom control or you'll smear the low end. Use it for punch and a bit of aggression, not for making the bass huge by force. Remember, the goal is not perfection, it's to create a performance with personality. Once the synth motion feels good, arm an audio track set to resampling and record the phrase in real time. This is important. Real-time resampling can catch little tone shifts, note tails, and gain bumps that a clean render might miss. Those little imperfections are often exactly what makes a bass line feel alive in this genre. Capture a few extra bars beyond the phrase too. Always print longer than you think you need. The best parts are often the weird in-between moments. The filter overshoot. The tail. The release. The accidental swell. After recording, listen through and find the moments where the bass blooms, snarls, or falls apart in a cool way. Consolidate the best section into a clean clip. Now you've got more than a synth patch. You've got a printed performance that can be edited like audio, which opens the whole arrangement up. Move that resampled audio to your chop track, or duplicate it for editing. Start slicing the clip into useful fragments. Focus on the attack of the note, the tail of the filter sweep, the distorted mid-range burst, or even a gap between notes that can become a rhythmic arrest. This is where the resample becomes composition material. Chop it into quarter bar or eighth bar pieces. Try reversing one piece for a transition. Trim a tail so it becomes a snappy response to the snare. Use fades and clip gain early so the edits feel intentional and clean. If you want to play the resample like an instrument, drop it into simpler in one-shot mode. That lets you trigger the bass hits from MIDI, which is great for building new riffs from the printed sound. Keep the start and end points tight. If the sample is too bright, use the filter inside Simpler to tame it. If you want glide or slide behavior, add portamento, but only if that suits the phrase. The point is to turn one printed sound into a playable bass toolkit. Now let's talk low end, because this is where a lot of people lose the power of the sound. A dark reese often gets too messy if the sub is living inside the same patch. So split the job. Create a separate sub-layer, using a clean sign source, like operator or a simple sign in Wavetable. Keep it mono, stable, and dead simple. It should follow the root notes of the bass line and handle the weight, while the resampled reese handles the character. That way the low end stays solid and the mids can get dirty without turning the whole mix to mush. If needed, high-pass the resampled layer around 80 to 120 Hz so the subspace stays clear. Use utility to keep the bass centered and check mono compatibility. This matters a lot in club playback. A bass that sounds huge in stereo, but collapses in mono, is going to let you down on a big system. Keep the bottom centered, and use width only as seasoning on the upper character. Now bring in your breakbeat, ideally something with strong snare hits and ghost notes. In jungle and old school DNB, the bass works best when it leaves room for the break to talk. Think of it as call and response. The bass hits answer the snare, the break fills the space, and the whole thing breathes. If the bass line is too dense, the groove gets flattened. If it leaves just enough air, the tune starts to move. Arrange the interaction carefully. Let longer bass notes avoid the key drum transients. Let short bass stabs happen between the break accents. Use one bass tail as a transition into the next phrase. The classic shape is something like this. The drums play a stripped loop, the reese comes in with a filtered answer, then the drop lands with chopped bass stabs and a clean sub underneath. A reverse tail or filtered swell can lead into the next section and keep the energy moving. If the bass and drums feel disconnected, use EQ8 to carve a little pocket around the snare's important range and add a touch of glue compressor if needed. Keep the compression light. In DNB, too much glue can kill the groove and make everything feel polite. You want the bass and breaks to lock together, not flatten into one blob. Once the core loop works, start thinking like an arranger. Automate the resampled audio so it becomes part of the story of the track. Open the filter in the bars leading into the drop. Throw a little reverb on the last tail before a section change. Send one chop into delay as a special moment. Reverse a tail into the downbeat of a new phrase. These little moves make the tune feel like a real record instead of a loop that repeats forever. A strong DNB arrangement often uses the same sonic DNA in different forms. The intro might have a filtered version of the reese with atmosphere and break fragments. The build can tighten the chops and make them more syncopated. The first drop can use the full resampled riff with sub support. Then a switch up can strip things back to one isolated hit or halftime moment. Later, the second drop can reuse the same material but reorder the chops or print a new version of the bass so it feels fresh. That brings us to the really powerful part. Second generation resampling. If the first print sounds good, route it through another audio chain and print it again with a different flavor. Add more saturation, more filter movement, or a touch of corpus if you want a resonant or metallic edge. Don't overuse corpus. It's best as a special effect, not a default sound. The second print should be more extreme than the first, with more grime and less responsibility for clean low-end. That version is perfect for fills, accents, risers, and mid-bass emphasis. This layering approach is what makes the sound feel bigger without just piling on processing. One sample can do the job of the main riff, another can be the ugly answer. Together, they give you a complete bass story. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't put too much sub inside the res patch. Don't resample too early before the synth has actually moved. Don't make the bassline too busy. Don't ignore mono compatibility. Don't smash the resample into harsh clipping. Don't let the kick, snare, and bass all hit at the same moment without intention. And don't forget to edit the tails, because that's where a lot of the juice lives.